welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made. Amen. Whether you're in the south or the north or the east or the west, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To the Lord God, Jehovah, the Father. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. To Pastor O. Amen. Our producer. Amen. And all the saints and friends throughout the world here and there. Amen. And even though they may be hearing this after the rapture, I say praise the Lord. You know, it's such a blessing. You know, I do Uber. I drive Uber for like twice a week or whenever, unless the Lord just, you know, he just put it on my heart to go out. And when he does that, I always run into somebody with need, with question, with that need answers. And the scriptures, Peter said that we should be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that lies in us. And you should. This is why you have to study the word. Saints, listen. Folk want hope because they are seeing the world here in 2023. And at the beginning, the first month of 2023, there have been over 7 mass shootings already. The devil is on a rampage. We need to be on a rampage. Amen. And it's something. I mean, I still occasionally run into a slightly resistant person, and I understand that, but you know, I tell you, that's why we're here. Amen. And don't go days without praying for somebody. Your simple prayer for God to save somebody is how God starts the process. You really need to understand how powerful you are and how significant you are. If that's all you do, you're doing a mighty work for the kingdom when you do that. Amen. Well, let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to come before you. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise and thanksgiving for it. We thank you, Jesus, for purchasing this opportunity with the shedding of your own blood and sending back the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for being our teacher, our guide, our comforter. We thank you, Lord, for all that has gone on here. Lord, we're praying specifically for the Runner for Christ ministry that has been sponsoring us, Lord God, that you would continue to bless them. Amen. Continue to fill that house that you have prepared. Amen. Hallelujah. That they'll be, because you prepared the pastor for prepare people, that you would draw people, create an irresistible hunger and desire for them to go where they can be fed the word of God, the Most High God, with clarity and an instruction. Father God, right now we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom. Amen. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have already in the saints, that great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us continually with the knowledge of your will, giving us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I may be concluding this series on the covenant. You know, as I was listening to that opening song, the key to that song is you got to have access to that name, and you got to invite him into your heart to do that, which we will give you an opportunity at the end of this broadcast if you haven't already done it. And it's amazing, such a simple act. It's the equivalent of signing a contract. You know, a simple signature changes everything. You know, you cannot sign a contract, but you don't have the benefit of it if you don't. And that's what the case is. And in our case, we're signing, amen, with the blood of Jesus. And that's awesome. So we've been looking at the aspects of the covenant. And really what it does is, you know, you got to go back and look at the whole foundation of this particular program, Training Day, and what it is about, and it is to enlighten people of the reason you go to church, the reason you study the word, the reason God does things in the manner that he does. And I'm looking, I'm hearing more, I'm beginning to see more, I had expected more men in God to go down this line, because God does things when he get ready to do things and with purpose. The reason he did take time is because he wanted to establish a history of consistency. I want to read Isaiah 46:10 right quick. And where we at? Well, I already got it. Praise the Lord. It says, I'm going to read 9 and 10. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I mean, you know, and I encounter people when I have the patience. I'll go to the Christian versus Atheist website, and it's always the same old silliness, you know. And it's sad that they are cut off people, and the only people that can help them are the body of Christ praying for them. You can't, you know, show them the Bible. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe there is a God. But you know that you have to work to get cut off like that. But the one thing about God, and that's you know, they try to get around that reasoning when you can point out what God said in the past and now is manifesting in the future. They'll try to reason out the fact that John in the book of Revelation said that we were going to eventually need to have a system where they could control buying and selling, you know, except for a specific group of people that had been marked with the Christ, the Antichrist mark. And see, he wrote that 2,000 years ago, and here it is today within a couple of years. That will be the case, okay? You know, but the issue here is that we still, we have a relationship with God, but we don't really have to be concerned with that, because if you're walking upright with God the best you can, amen, you won't be here, you know, to go through all that. All that you read after chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, up until Jesus' return in chapter 20, you don't have to deal, you don't have to worry about what goes on. You don't have to worry about the white throne judgment. Your destiny is in Revelation, actually in Revelation 21. Even though we will spend 1,000 years on this planet, amen, in which you will be able to enjoy it in total peace and harmony, amen, with the exception of training days. Oh, yeah, it's going to be some training days, but, you know, it's going to be a whole lot different life. And that is why God does this, because there has to be continuity of thought. And you know, when I read various historical documents by writers that wrote thousands of years ago, and I see that consistency, and that's what you see in the Bible, is the consistency of the thought. The changes that get made is when God decides to make them. You know, and if you're interested, I have a book out called The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion, because it is not a religion. And that's some of the things that I highlight, how God did, what he did, when he did. You know, an analysis, quick breakdown of who is God, who is Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, what is man, things that you really need to know. It'll really help a person that's just beginning this journey, or have been on this journey and just for some reason or whatever, never read the Bible, or thought that it would be too confusing to understand. I help open that up, you know. you know, it's something, because we're at the close of this age, and you're going to need to know right now. Like I said, they've had 7 mass shootings. You can avoid those situations. If you had the Holy Spirit, if you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, you have the Holy Spirit, then he can warn you. You know, a lot of times God warns us and we ignore it. And when he – no, that's another whole subject. But take advantage of that. Go on YouTube, learn about the Holy Spirit, learn how he operates. straight anyway, because I want to stay with my subject here. All right. So we just read that God brought to pass. So what reason the reason I brought that out, excuse me, my throat was getting kind of filled up there, is because we're going into this aspect of the Davidic covenant, which is going to lead into the New Testament, which is where Jesus comes on the scene. And the main character here is King David. And if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 8, you'll find out how they up until this point, Israel did not have a king. They were led by the prophets and the judges and the leaders that God appointed, like Moses, who basically had prophetic status, you know, because God would give them the word and they would give the word to the people. And so, but it got to the point where they weren't, as it is, Satan had began to bring about oppression through the ministry. They were becoming abusive, much of what you see today in other countries and even in America in some cases. And so the people got tired of it, and they saw other people had a political leader, a king, a secular leader, and so they petitioned the prophet Samuel to see God about having a king like the other nations, despite the warning. So let me read that anyway right quick. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, I believe verse 4. It says, "And then the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and they said unto him, Behold, thou art old, you old, and your sons do not walk in the ways that you do. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. And they said, This thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king and judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And according to the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day." You know, the essential aspect of this is that God has always, from day one, when he decided to create us, it was going to be about a one-on-one close relationship with him. But we need to understand his character. It is not like people want it to be. Today we live in a political society, and it is run much like this situation right here. You know, you have political leaders that can be moved with money. They succumb to the desire for wealth at the expense of the people. They're totally unreliable, and that's what had happened back then. They were being corrupt, and it's you get impatient with corruption. And that's sad as a seed that's about to blow up, about to grow up in America. But anyway, God has, like I say, his objective is to always be, he's a father. Father love their children. You know, I always enjoy talking to my children, you know. I learn from them, they learn a little bit from me, and that's life, you know. And seeing where we're headed, we'll be reunited with our families, you know. And that's an eternal thing. But again, you have to bear in mind, you have to remember that we're talking about fully developed mankind. And I can't overemphasize this, because it's about power and being able to manage it and staying consistently submissive to God. And it is in this life, you have, even though we have limited mental capacity, we have enough, amen, to understand what is necessary. I mean, we look at all the systems and how society functions, and we can see where we go lacking. You know, we gravitate to hate and rejection before we gravitate to love, particularly agape love. You know, we see people with shortcomings, and we have Christians particularly, we have authority. We're the only ones with authority that can go before God and pray and intercede for a person. and yet we'll just criticize, you know. I see criticism, and I was guilty of that myself until God convicted me of it, you know, particularly with their celebrities, you know, but they are overwhelmed with demonic influence. Man, money is powerful, and it makes you do crazy things if you don't have, if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word. If God is not a priority, money will quickly become one, and that is going to be one of Satan's final attacks prior to the rapture to distract Christians. Because right now, with all the drama and chaos right now, he's keeping people at the throne of God. But you relieve them of financial pressure and other things. I mean, look at how he's setting up some stuff. So you really got to be firm in your stand with the Lord. Now, so with the Davidic covenant, it is where we are going now. It is the typology of the covenant of the manifestation of the relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's really as amazing of how God set this up, but he did, and that's why it follows the pattern, okay? David, like I say, became king. They had requested a king, so God gave him a king. And the first king of Israel was a man named Saul. And Saul, Saul was a handsome guy. I mean, he was taller than the average Israelite. I mean, he was all that in a bag of Cheetos. But the one problem he had, like a lot of people have, that somebody I recently ran into, was pride. And the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is when you know more than God. And that's we will be challenged. Again, you're not going to get play-by-play declarations in the Bible, and the devil went in and told Saul this lie, and Saul followed through on it. Okay, you know the devil is out there, you know the word of God, and you see the difference by their actions. And that's what happened with Saul. He let his pride get the best of him. You know, now what the main event that happened that drew the line that finally sealed the deal for him to be, I forgot the term they use when they kick a king out, but anyway, it ain't evicted, but it's close to that. And that was, God had given an order to destroy completely the Amalekites. I mean, I remember the first time I read that order, you know, I'm like, wow. I mean, I thought that it was enough when I read that God authorized execution, you know, cap for the crime of murder. This here, wiping out a whole, I mean, not, this was, I mean, the order was to kill every man, woman, child, cattle, chicken, dog, anything that was living, kill it. Okay? And now you have to understand, in a situation like that, if there were proselytes, there was people that really believed in God, even though they suffered consequence, and you really need to think about this. They were victims, might have been victim of circumstances. I know the children were victim of circumstances, all right? Because they were innocent, especially, you can imagine, a newborn babe. That's another problem that the atheists have. But you have to remember this. We see people leaving, and we see the brutality of it. But on God's side, he see them coming and the beauty of it, okay? The ones that's coming to him, he see them come through a virtual wall, and they there in his kingdom forever. And he had back then, he had an assigned place for them, which you could read a little bit about it in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 32. And after Jesus was resurrected, he liberated everybody out of there. And so, you know, you go back and you study the law in Leviticus, you will find that there were, God had clauses in there for, quote, the stranger. That was a person that was not genetically born into Israel, but they chose, they got a revelation, and they chose to follow the laws of God, and despite their own heritage, and God accepted them, that much as he does us in the New Testament. I haven't done the blood test. I don't care if I was an Akhenazim Jew. I'm a Jew through Christ. Hallelujah. All right. So David became king. All right. Saul didn't kill the Amalekites. He halfway did what he was told. When God give you an order, I mean, when God give you a specific order, do it like he said, how he said. Don't debate the issue. That's a very powerful lesson. As a result, Saul was dethroned, and David was appointed. Now, he let him live out his days. Okay, he didn't immediately depose him, but David was going to be his replacement. And so David, you know, God selected him. You know, they didn't vote on kings, even though they had voted to dethrone God, as it were. They didn't. That was the first. That shows you how goofy, what they call it, democracy. Yeah, right. It's democracy, really. But anyway, so they got to the point that they got what they wanted, and it went just as God even warned them. I'm not going, for the sake of time, go back and read 1 Samuel. You know, you really need to read it anyway. You know, you really need to read the Bible. Take your time. You always got time, but where you got time for Facebook and all that other old useless stuff, take some time out for God's word. He didn't have this written for nothing, okay? But anyway, so David became king. So David became king, and because David was what God called a man after his own heart, you know, and you really got to understand that when you get into David. I mean, he's the man. See, David helped me. He really helped me live his life, because one of the things I learned from David is when you mess up, don't make excuses. See, that was another thing Saul would do. He would do something goofy, stupid, violate the law of God, try to make an excuse, you know. I get that, you know, but you know what? That's what I learned. That's why you have to read the word. God don't like excuses. And you know, you find that with a lot of successful people. They don't like excuses. They want you to solve the issue, okay? You know, hallelujah. But anyway, David became king, and because he did as God declared, he became victorious in all the battles that he fought, and there were many, and he was just victorious. And the thing you have to understand is, like, I live in a small town with a population, I think, of 7,800. And next to us is a big city that has 10 times that, you know, 800,000, something like that. And David, with his small army, could take on a city like that and defeat him, you know, because God was on his side. And because, you know, he wouldn't just go to battle. He would seek the man of God, and the man of God would ask, can he go, and should he go? And then the man of God would come back and tell him, not only should he go, but this is what your plan is. And that's what it is today. You know, I watched the movie Patton. And it's amazing during World War II. You know, they show Patton, and it's important because we're in a society now to think they're smarter than God. But it was show Patton kneeling on one knee. You know, Patton, I don't think could even was that deep into the word as we are today, because much of society back then wasn't. They felt that was just the preacher's job. But he did. When he decided to make a decision, he would ask the chaplain to pray. You know, and I remember this one incident, the chaplain said, how are you going to pray and ask God on how to destroy your enemy? Well, I can only assume that chaplain had read the Bible. I have met people like that. And then they don't even want to see, this is what pride, don't let pride stop you from learning the way of God. Because God is who he is. God is a strong God, believe me. You know, we know he's merciful because we exist, okay? But don't think you going to just treat him like he's the Pillsbury. I think some people think God is like the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know, this little old soft character. No, he ain't. Shoot, believe me. I got caught up in that stupid. Now, it ain't going to happen no more. But anyway, so what you got is when you look at all the covenant aspects, and really that's what they are leading up to Jesus and his rulership. Here when you get to the Davidic covenant, okay, remember in the Mosaic covenant we got stipulations. If you go back and you read the, you know, Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy and Numbers, you get more details for that period of time up until Christ, how God ran his kingdom. And as long as they did that, nobody could take Israel down. And the thing about it is, you're going to get attacked. But the issue is, can you come out with the victory? And you come out with the victory because I've been getting attacked. That comes with the territory. I mean, the Bible tells us we're going to have spiritual warfare. I mean, the devil's going to bring. Remember, the Satan is always going to use some human, some kind of way to get at you. He might even use yourself if you're not aware of it. All right. So David has been victorious. All right. And so we're going to come in at 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to go at verse 8. Now, because David is feeling like, I feel sometimes like I don't do enough for God. You ever feel like that? You look around and you see how blessed you are, and then you say, man, I need to be doing more. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather sit at home, and I could sit at home and twice a week, at least once a week, I can trade and make as much of doing Uber for a week in about half hour. But that does not build the kingdom of God. That just works on my pocket. And God manages a lot of times to get both done when I do what he say do, okay? That's another thing. Find you something. You've been given a lot of giving, and you wonder when you're going to get a return. Find something God can feel. Find something God can bless you back with. If your job ain't giving you that type, you don't have a commission-based job, and you get an hourly salary, find you something. I ain't going to tell you what you can do, but see God, because he know you. See, so all of us ain't good at selling. So I just sold some stuff. I got some stuff I got to put online and sell today. And usually when I put it on there, it's gone within a week. I mean, God is good. And, God is just good. We got a day and age like nobody else, man. There's no reason for us to be like we are. Anyway, okay, so we're going to just read here. I'm gonna start with verse 1. And it, matter of fact, hold on. Let me get this amplified version here going. Says, and when David lived in his house, palace. All right, technical difficulty. And when David lived in his house, the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark dwells within tent curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do everything that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you be one to build me a house in which I dwell? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought the sons, descendants of Israel up out of Egypt, even unto this day. But I have been in a moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Wherever I have gone with all the Israelites, did I speak a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, asking, why have you not built me a house? In other words, God is like, I ain't asked nobody, really, to build me a house. So now say this with my servant David. Thus saith the Lord, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name like the great men of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in a place of their own and not be disturbed. And the wicked will not afflict them again as formerly, even from the day that I appointed judges over my people. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares that to you he will make a house, a royal dynasty for you. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down in death with your fathers, your ancestors, I will raise up your descendants after you, who shall be born to you, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who shall build a house for my name in my presence, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he commits iniquity, wrongdoing, I will discipline him with the rod of men and with the strokes of the sons of man. But my loving kindness and my mercy will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house, your royal dynasty, and your kingdom will endure forever before me, and your throne will be established forever. Nathan spake to David in accordance with all these words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, that there's some things in there. See, you got to remember Galatians 3:29, okay? It says, if you are Christ's seed, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, again, if your life, there's some criteria to this covenant, you know. There's seven that I follow, and I find they work very well. You know, I recently had a challenging situation that cost me some serious money, and God made a way. So you want to have access to God. But so when you're talking about the kingdom of God, you're talking about the power of God, the authority of God, the family of God. God is a father. You know, he care about you. Believe me, he does. But now there's criteria. You are here on earth, and you are here to learn. If you're not learning, something wrong. Okay, you are here to learn. All right, so here, David desire, you know, to give back to the Lord because he's blessed, you know, and I know people like that. I'm like that. You know, I find people struggle with the issue of challenges of giving and tithing, and they worry about, you know, if you can't spot a crooked preacher, it's either you stupid or blind. I mean, come on now. Some things just outstanding, okay? And you can see something. You know the difference between right and wrong. Come on, I don't even know why people talk that old foolishness, you know? Because I cut them off, say, well, you must be dumb if you can't spot one. Everybody know a wolf with a sheep head over it, you know, covering on it. I do, anyway. But then again, there's God. You know, the Bible tell you that the Holy Spirit, it says, as many as are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Okay, then Colossians 3:15 tells you that you should have a peace within you. God will show you all things. I mean, John 16:13, there's no reason for that, but that's people that don't know God. Because, you know, that's a killer question, killer statement when I say, did you ask God about it? I asked somebody like that, asked that last night, and they try to dance around it. No, don't dance. Don't dance. I don't need a dance partner. You didn't ask God about it. Why? Because you see, people want to challenge you. I mean, challenge me. Listen, this thing is serious. Like I say, 18 people just lost their lives in 2 days, you know, and that's the one they recorded. Actually, it's 20 people, you know, and it's sad. But the devil is on a rampage. But again, and that is happening because people are not accessing the power of God. That's what this is about. This is not entertainment. This is about God's ability here. See, I used to wonder about this for years until I came upon the teacher that got into the details, that sought God, because he had the same questions, and now we know how this thing operates. And if people don't listen, I'm not responsible for that. I'm here. I'm just here to bring the message. That's all. I'm here to bring the message. Because this here says, just like God said, he cut off all of David's enemies. That means he blocked the hand of the devil. But what was the criteria? David did what? David took out the Amalekite in the exact manner that God told him to do it. He said, take out, kill it. He did it. And he did it. I like how he tactically did it, but he got it done. But understand what it was with the Amalekites. For over 430 years, now, you know, when you read material, they all got different opinions. But it was over 400 years. Nonstop, that's about 10 generations. These people consistently rebelled against God. I mean, they were very, very brutal and violent. They would just go do like Vladimir Putin is trying to do to Ukraine, just brutally violent. nonstop as though there would never be an answer, okay? See, with God, he don't have a watch. He don't have a calendar. There comes a time when he told Abraham that the fullness, the descendant of the Amorite had not reached its fullness. When it full, like America is about to get full right now, then judgment comes. I mean, God will give you time to repent. Anyway, they didn't, and so David took them out. You know, David did what he was supposed to do, okay? And that everything God told David to do, he did, and that's where it is. So this is the thing. I ran to somebody and tell me they're not in church. Well, what did God do to stop you from going to church? He ain't never done nothing to me. Have I had church folk get on my nerve? Yeah. Oh, yes, I have, more than once. Okay, that's going to happen. I mean, come on now. You think the devil don't go on hallowed ground? He go up in there. He goes up into heaven. Look, read Job chapter 1. He'll show up in church, and if he can find somebody that's weak that he can manipulate and use, he going to do it. Because the whole point is you have to remain consistent in understanding who you are. And that's the key. It's like with training with firearms. You got to know who to shoot when. You can't just shoot everybody because they get on your nerve. You can only use defenses. That same thing for being a Christian. I can't go out. God is not going to tell somebody. I'm waiting on the report of these people that did these recent slaughters to say something goofy like the Lord told me to do that. No, God will only allow you to use deadly force to defend yourself or your family or another person as it is in the law. Yes, God does allow defense, okay? The reason the early saints in the beginning just died, one is they wanted to go into heaven. It was, you know, they tell me that with God, once the lion took the first bite, he snatched them out the body. They didn't feel nothing anyway. That's why nobody ever heard them hollering and screaming in agony. But, and I believe that. But they didn't understand like we understand now. I had recently purchased one of them early copies. You can get them on Amazon. It's called The First Bible. It was written in 144 A.D., and there's a lot of good information in there. I don't know why they call it heretical. I ain't seen nothing heretical in there at all. But anyway, so David wants to build God a house, and I get that. God at this time is still dwelling in a tent. Now, this is the deep part about that. This tent compared to the tabernacle that God had Moses built was different. I mean, it was nowhere near what God had ordained Moses. It wasn't an identical copy of the one that Moses had built. But Moses had specific instructions. Now, you know, they done been through some changes now, but David did put an isolated place, and he did surround it with temple guards and Levites. According to what you read, it was more than 4,000 manpower surrounding that place 24/7. So, you know, wasn't nobody going to get near it, but it was distinctly different, which to me tells me that God, by allowing that, okay, still there was only the high priest could go into the very presence of God. But by God allowing that, meaning he was, to me, is showing that he was letting them get closer to him. See, because there had to be some growth. You know, there was more development, like you had more prophets, which were men that God spoke directly to. There is a chain of command in the body of Christ. And as the chain of command has been there all the way. There are still prophets according to Ephesians 4:11 and other portions of the Bible. And particularly pastors oftentimes, they know they're in pastor mode because that's their job, to counsel people, teach people. But oftentimes they will be, if you listen to them, they'll go into prophetic speech. And a lot of times, I know when they go back and they listen to their message, and they're like, man, that wasn't in my notes, but it was for somebody. See, and that comes by the virtue of the fact that they have the Holy Spirit. See, you know, anyway, I ain't going to argue with that basis, but I believe being filled with the Spirit just means God dominates you, and that comes from worship and praise. Anybody worship and pray. What you do after that, you know... You know, I put it like this. You can be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells you how to be filled, singing psalms, hymn, and make a melody in your heart. That's what it says, so you know. But anyway, that's another whole issue. So God, David wants to build a temple, and I get that. That makes sense. Like I said, you want to bless God. How people don't want to bless God, I don't know. How you don't want to see the... If you want to bless God and bless his work, I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed. Like I say, it's easier for God to not have to use people outside of you. If occasionally he will. I mean, if they'll submit, but if they don't, Bill Gates still ain't send me my $10 million check. So, you know, that shows you how that works. He probably still trying to figure out who is Richard Overall and why should I send him a $10 million check. Well, God got a plan for it, so just do what you're supposed to do. But anyway, all right, so David did that, but now God basically, in a nice way, say, no, that is not going to be you, okay? I'm not going to let you do that. In another portion of Scripture, God told David, say, you're a man with bloody hands. Okay, in other words, you ain't a bad guy, but that ain't your responsibility. That ain't, you don't have that character for that aspect. Okay, that's another whole lesson in and of itself. Some of us, by design, by nature, were brought here to this planet for a specific reason. You know, I found that I fitted very well in the law enforcement. That job was never fearful for me. I was never fearful. I was never stressed out. I was so natural in that environment. And when people talking in my face telling me I'm going to murder you and your whole family, I'm like, okay, just don't let me see you because you won't get it done. And they didn't. Because it that helped teach me that I had to stay in line with God. Because he would tell me. He'll show you things. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Everything. That's John 16:13. So if you don't know what's happening, that's you. You watch too much TV. Not enough time with God. God should get at least 10% of your day. Really. He should get 10% of your 24 hours, 2 hours and 40 minutes should belong to God. Some kind of way. You know, you don't have to give it to him all in one setting, but give him some time. And believe me, because, see, he'll back up. God like talking to people. Man, I was surprised. I'm telling you, when I began this journey, and I was so happy to hear somebody say the Lord talked to them, I thought, I'm like, I must be losing my mind in his voice in my head. All right. Hallelujah. So David wants to build God a house. God said it, but he also made him some promises. Now I'm going to go back to the KJV and read that because it says, one thing about that, God promises David that he's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to make his name famous as it is. You know, it really is. And out of this is the descendancy of Jesus, okay? But now, and it's amazing how that stands out, because when you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, you'll find that it begins with Abraham. And that's because the other covenant, the Abrahamic portion of the covenant of Israel, when they became a people, began with Abraham, and see, God is drawing a lot here. I mean, this here is a really, I've sat under hours of teaching on this very issue, and I mean, it's, each one aspect can go on for a day, for hours, because, again, it isn't, you know, when I hear somebody say the Bible is confusing, they're telling me they're not asking God questions. They're not spending the time required, because if you do that, God will give you the revelation. I mean, really, everything else you do is temporary. Even your job is temporary. I'm retired, so that was temporary. I mean, what you see on TV, I struggle with useless TV. I really do. I don't know how a person watch a talk show. I can't get it. You know, it's almost insulting to me. Anyway, the part where he said when your days are fulfilled, that's in 2 Samuel 7:12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. Now, that came about, that right there is two things. In the natural, that's Solomon. And in the natural and the natural spiritual, is Jesus. Both of them. I mean, in that aspect, because they, as we read in Isaiah, God, when he called that out, that's a done deal. That's a done deal there. Okay? And I will establish you, the other part is, in verse 14, he said, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the son of men. Now, iniquity is not just tripping and falling. That's playing sin. That's become a modicum. That's something that you do. And you almost do it unrepentantly, okay? But note what God is saying here, the magnitude of his mercy. I'm not going to cut your promise off because your children are acting like idiots, okay? And Solomon, you know, Jesus said Solomon was the wisest man ever. Now, I'm going to tell you, if Jesus had not said that, I would not believe that. I would have said he was wise, known for being wise, but he ended up like a fool because he did some stuff I wouldn't even do, okay? And I mean, I've done some goofy stuff, but there are limits to how goofy. I would never worship an idol. I'd smack you if you try to put an idol before me. We fight. That's so insulting. And then he, you know, I mean, Solomon he had a kingdom. I was listening to this one commentator, and he was talking about Solomon had, I believe it was Dr. J. Vernon McGee that said that Solomon had the only debt-free kingdom where everybody was happy with their level of life. You know, the rich were happy. They weren't overburdened, overtaxed. And the lower income was there. They weren't deprived and suffering, and it wasn't a welfare system, it was a balance system, because Solomon, one of the things he was known for was he asked God for wisdom. God said, well, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon said, I don't know how to go in and out before these people. I don't know how to rule them. I want wisdom. And that's the thing. See, God, that's what God wants. He wants us to come to him for revelation, knowledge, and instruction. Our governments today are suffering from this very thing. They don't ask God. They think if they went to a university and accumulated some information that they now have a revelation of how to run things. No, that's you short. Revelation is the completion. You know, information is just the result of investigation. You know, revelation give you illumination, and they haven't reached that. Now we got in this country, they call America, this is a debtor nation. It's my richest country on the world. You tell me anybody that owe more money than they make, you don't call that a rich person. A rich person is a person that have more money than they owe. That's the way I've always known it to be. How is it that you got $3 trillion and you owe $30 trillion and you call rich? That's 10 times broke. That's where we are today physically. And that happened because they chose to do things their way. And this didn't take a long time. It took 40 years to get to from zero to $3 trillion in debt, okay? Then it only took like 10 years to go from $3 trillion to $30 trillion. Now, that's crazy. Why? Because God is no longer showing favor to ignorance. You ignore him, he's going to let you go your own way, and that'll be in your own life. If you ignore God and you got all the answers and you ain't got time for him and you think that's being too religious, you're going to be the one with 25 charge cards. Because you want stuff and you can't get it. You trying to do it your way. And see, God, this is what this promise is about. This is what Jesus purchased. Hallelujah. Man, Time is flying. You must be having fun. All right, so we did get somewhere into this, okay? We did get in there that this is the Davidic covenant. We learned that God, like I say, he sealed the deal right here. And next week, we're going to get into the deal and some of the deal. But in verse 16, and he said, "In your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. And your throne shall be established forever." You know, powerful word. And I think people don't really look at it, what it's saying, because David has been gone, and I say gone, not on earth, I don't know, what, 2,500 years he's been gone? Okay? But he's not dead, as people would suppose. You know, he's not totally without life. He's just not on planet Earth. And he's coming back with Jesus when he comes back. See, so he'll get to see his throne being, see this promise being manifested. That's the kind of God that we serve, see. And with that, I've given you an opportunity right now to receive that God, see. Because we're going to face the greatest challenges of time in history, unlike any other time, as they say, unprecedented. But you can also have unprecedented blessing. You can be secure in your relationship. You can live a fearless life. You don't have to be concerned about the asteroid that's headed to Earth. You don't have to be concerned about World War III. You don't have to be concerned about the price of eggs that people are making a lot of jokes about. Because I'm telling you, we walked into the store one day, you know, and they're talking about how the price of meat went up because they're killing all the cows, too. And they had brought out some meat that the price was so cheap that I had to pray right quick. I'm like, "Lord, this is this is down 50%. Look at the date." And I'm like, "Wow, man, this ain't even down." You know, usually when you see a price like that, it expires in 2 days. That expiration was a month away. So my wife snatched it all up. We got it in the freezer now. But see, God, I'm telling you, that never happened. All the years I have shopped at that store, that ain't never happened. It was like a blue light special. Like we were there at the right time. God, I'm telling you, God will make somebody open a door. He'll open a door, close a door, whatever you need. But you have to have a relationship through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus died. And this is all you have to do. Just pray this prayer. "Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. I believe that, as it says, that we were all born in sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am saved and I am forgiven and I am born again." Signed on the line. That's what you just did. That simple. Right now. And that entitles you to all the provision. There are books out now with the promises and provisions of God. Whatever you need. It doesn't matter what the status of your life is. I don't care if you just got out of prison. The harder it is, the more glory God get out of getting it done. He can open up a door, make a way. If God could do, I would tell people, he'll do one or two things. Start you a business or get you a good job. I'm telling you, God can get it done. His history is still intact. He's a non-failing God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at the end, I have an ad for my books. Want you to check that out. Particularly, send a copy right now. I still got copies for sale on Amazon. They're at the regular price on Barnes & Noble. But send somebody, if you have a relative that's locked up in prison or a relative that's new to Christ or never knew Christ, send them a copy of it. Just deliver. Do them a blessing because it will help them understand this life. Because time is tick-tocking, running out. Amen. And remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
God plan. Yeah, yeah. yours. You don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road. Be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road. Be careful who you're following.
Travel the road with some people, don't make it out, but we emerge. Everyday battle, I'm fighting my demons. Live on the promises found in the word. Get rid of doubt, that can be cancer. If you let it seep into your mind, no matter the problem, I carry the answer. It's a fact, he's always on time. I never had a halo, but I got love for the people. Driving around, looked up, saw steeple. Walked inside, right down to the altar. Raised my hands, oh God, I need this. Handed me the word, young man, you read this. What about send my son, I bleed this. Grab that mic right there, get busy. Give them truth, that's all, they'll see it. Back in the building, we bringing the virus. And everyday walk, we will never retire. Don't have to be Sunday for you to get blessed. Turn on the record, you think it's a choir. No Kanye, but I've been through the wire. We've all had a struggle, we gotta get through. You ain't gotta be like everybody, believe it and see. You just gotta be you, true.
God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again.
Now I know heaven and hell, and I can tell the devil be on my block. Showing me pains, full of my strings, keeping me clutching the Glock. The path is wide, the game is whack. Evils will never return. If you lose your way, you will pay, and the cost will always burn. Don't trip up and get flipped up out here playing the clowns. That ain't your fam to bite your hand, putting the food in the mouth. It's a solo show, you need to know life is not a race. It's a journey for us to love and trust and chase the wolves away. Come on.
God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again.